Welcome to the Middle Church Podcast, a multicultural, multi-ethnic, intergenerational movement of spirit and justice, powered by revolutionary love with room for everyone. No matter where you are, how you look, or who you love, we pray this podcast will help you on your journey. Here's this week's worship celebration.
Everybody, how you doing? Happy holiday to you. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Good enough?
Good enough.
Good enough, right? Good. I'm glad you're here. We have a lot of new people in the room because you come and then you come. So if you're here for the first time, raise your hand so we can... Can you say where you're from? All right, now. Excellent. Welcome.
New Jersey.
New Jersey. Excellent. Kansas City. I'm so glad you're here. Somebody has a card for you. I think that somebody, some usher type. Okay. Pam, the deacon who does everything. We want to make sure that we're able to hear from you, where you're from, and stay connected, okay? Welcome. It's good to see you. If you're online, also, we would love to see you. Raise your hands again if you're new so our wonderful Pam can just give you a card. We do not, on the first visit, make you give your firstborn child. We just think that's a bit much, but we would love to be in touch with you. So if you can do that, that would be great. And a gentleman over here, Pam, green shirt. If you're online for the first time, we're so glad you're here. Please use the chat to let Reverend Nick know where you are. We're glad to be connected to you as well. Friends, in the liturgical calendar, this is called, in some circles, Christ the King Sunday. In our circle, Reign of God Sunday. And so the way the calendar works is like this is the last Sunday of the year. And the new year begins next year. Did you guys know that? The new year begins next week. And the new year begins next week with Advent, where we're waiting on Christmas, right? So this sort of winter solstice time that also tracks with Hanukkah is a kind of time of letting go of the old and beginning the new and thinking about all that has happened. So on this day, I want to say that at Middle Church, we are thrilled for the way we've been able to stay in the community, the way we have a place to worship, right? The way a fire did not stop our revolutionary love. So amen, 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 right? Next Sunday, December 3rd, is what our staff has come to call Resilience Sunday. It's the Sunday that's closest to the fire that happened 3 years ago now in a week. And we will be worshiping here at 11:45, and we will be just taking a walk down to the site. The site has changed. It is changing even now, the work that's being done on the facade. We're not taking mics, we're not taking lights, we're not taking headaches, we're just taking ourselves. And if you'd like to come with us, we're just gonna walk down or meet you there. Bring a flower, bring a memory, bring a card. We keep treating the fence at 7th Street and 2nd Avenue like it's a memorial place. So I'm inviting you to do that with us next week right after worship. Can do that as well. Looking ahead to Christmas time, because, you know, it's almost here, we will be worshiping at 11:45 on Christmas Eve, which is a Sunday. We'll be here at 11:45, beautiful music. And then at 3 o'clock, we'll have a gospel worship at Marble Collegiate Church. And they're going to host that. I know. I knew you were going to snap for that. So both worships will be beautiful, filled with glorious music. One here at 11:45, one at Marble at 3 o'clock. There's much more to say, but I would like to invite you to look at your bulletin and think of the ways that you'd like to connect with us during the week. I am dressed in my jeans today. Because there's also a lot of love being given in the world in different ways, and John and I are going to a protest for love after worship, so just keep us in your thoughts. Lots of folks doing lots of things to ask for ceasefire, by which we mean also release the hostages. Like, cease the fire, release the hostages, heal the world. Amen? Like, We actually can hold more than one hallelujah thought at the same time in a complex world where lots of things are happening that cause us concern. So with all of that, let's take a deep breath. Think of God's goodness. And let us worship God in our opening hymn. John, help us do that.
Hello, everyone. I'm inviting all the children to come and join me down here and to help me spread this out.
Yeah.
You have time to get down the stairs. Come on, let's gather up. It's so good to see you all. This is for all ages. So if you have an inner child that is calling you up here, please come on up. That's all right. So how are you today? You got a little break from school, didn't you? Smiles. Okay, good. Good. So I was thinking about muscles lately. And I was thinking about that because I was looking through some old pictures when I was younger. And things that I like to do, and I love sports. Do you love sports? And playing games, and running, and jumping, climbing. I used to climb trees. You ever climb a tree? That's really good, okay. So I was thinking about that, and the exercise and the good feeling it gives us to run, and, you know, sprint, and all that sort of thing. And then I started to think, you know, there are some children in the world who really don't right now have the opportunity to do that. They're either stuck in a place where they have to work as children and not get paid, by the way, or they're in a place that is in conflict and they're really trying to stay out of harm's way. They can't be free to roam around. So their muscles might not be working as well. But when we think about the muscles we have and the children in the world that are kind of stuck in a difficult place, what are some other muscles we could use to tell them we're thinking about them? What other muscles beside arms and legs have we got?
Your heart.
Your heart. Good. Good response. What else? Your stomach? Okay. He's thinking about Thanksgiving still. Okay. Yeah. Okay. What? Yes, your brain, your thoughts, your ideas. These are great muscles. Hearts and brains and minds, great, great things, great muscles. So when I was thinking about that, I started to wonder what could we all do that would communicate to other children everywhere who might need to know that they're important, that they matter. How could we do that? And I have a project I want to invite you to do. You can do it today or sometime this week. I made a little art project. The extent of my artistic ability is right here. Say, yes. What's that say? Children's lives matter. And I wondered, I started to imagine, because imagination is a good muscle too, I started to imagine what would happen if as many people as we could gather would make a sign like that. And we would take a photograph of the child holding that sign, and you would tell your parents, or you yourselves, because you're better on computers than probably I am, that you would upload it and send it to Middle Church. And we would gather them up, and we would send them out to everybody we knew. And we would ask them to make an art project too, with the same words. Do you see where I'm going? What if that traveled far and wide? What if a lot of children saw that, and a lot of children made these signs? Children's lives matter. Do you think that could help? We need to get the adults to get their act together, right? All right. So wonderful. So would you take up this challenge and make a sign like that? Yes? Could you do it? Parents might help? Or you help your parents make one? Yeah? Okay. Wonderful. So thank you for coming up today. Can we just say a brief little prayer together? Thank you, God, for the day. Thank you for being together in this place. And thank you for all the opportunities we have to give thanks. And help us move forward into the world with all our muscles. Amen. Thank you.
Morning prayer today is sung. I invite you to take a deep breath and listen, listen, listen for the beauty of this voice and this cello and piano, and pray your prayers to our God. Let us pray. Thank you. Goodness, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. This would be a string bass, not a cello. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you, God. Let us continue to pray joyfully as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Stand if you are willing, able, but also it's okay to keep your seat. Pray the prayer that you learned it, the way you know it, in whatever language feels at home to you. Let us pray. Ever-loving and holy God, hallowed be your name. Your reign come, your will be done. The music is beautiful. You look beautiful. We have members here from out of town. I just want to welcome Carol and Tom, and their daughter's name is Taylor, right? Woohoo! Okay, so we're so glad you're here. So greet people in the name of love, especially people you don't know. Offer a greeting and a welcome to the one who might be less familiar. Catch up with your boo later, you know, over brunch, okay? Peace be with you all. Peace. Also with you. Thank you. Peace.
I can feel him.
Let's just sing some more. That's amazing. Thank you all so much. Thank you, wonderful musicians. Thank you so much. Well, today's scripture lesson is found in the Psalms. With our facade coming down at the site, I went a little off lectionary to think about facades and facades coming down. This isn't working. Goodbye. Making your head feel weird. You can't preach with your hair feeling weird. It's much better. Listen for a word of God in Scripture. This is Psalm 139, the Message version. God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back, I'm never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me, you're there. I look up ahead, and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on morning's wings to the far western horizon, you're already there waiting. And then I said to myself, God even sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in the light. It's a fact. Darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to you. Oh yes, you shaped me first inside then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you. Hi, God, you're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You knew exactly how I was made, bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day. Your thoughts, how rare, how beautiful. God, I'll never comprehend them. I couldn't even begin to count them any more than I could count the sand of the sea. Oh, let me rise in the morning and live always with you. And please, God, do away with wickedness for good. All you murderers, get out of here. All the men and women who belittle you, God, infatuated with cheap God imitations. See how I hate those who hate you, God. See how I loathe all this godless arrogance? I hate it with a pure, unadulterated hatred. Your enemies are my enemies. Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Then, guide me on the road to eternal life. Whew, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was younger and I read the psalm, I think God sounded a little codependent, just a little up in it, just a little up in it. But now it gives me so much comfort. Pray with me. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you were here last week with the music and stuff that was off the chisane, and the Holy Spirit just bipping and skipping and rocking and rolling through here, like she had lost her, I don't know what, the Holy Spirit was everywhere. And then Jay Hoom's sermon was just so beautiful. It was perfect for me, exactly the sermon I needed. And it's happened before, of course, a particular insight that Natalie or Ben will have, and I think, oh, yes, they got in my soul, and they knew what I needed. But Jay's words last week for this cisgendered, straight, black, married grandmother person that I am, I just kept hearing all week long, lay down your life. Lay down your life, the life to which you're holding on, any life to which you're clinging that's harmful, full of harm, shaped by what harmed you, life that is death-dealing, deadening, crippling, soul-crushing. That's what I heard. Lay it down. Let it go. Lay down that life that is not really living, flourishing, the life that's not really real. Lay down the life, any part of your life that is not the truest you, the authentic you, the real, honest you, that's your truest, most fabulous you. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Lay it down. Pick up your real self, I heard. Transform yourself into the you that is the real one. That's what I heard. That's what I've been hearing. That's what I've been needing to hear. Loud shouts in these last 3 years, maybe four. Lay down the patina, the persona, the covering, disrobe, take off your mask, take off your cape, let the facade come crumbling down. Because you got to be real to heal. One of my mentors in seminary, Patty, used to tell me always that I was a little bit self-reflective. Maybe it's because I turned 60, though, 4 years ago and started giving less Fs. Okay, you got that. Okay. Maybe it was because I was digging around in my story, turning things upside down, looking under rocks, sniffing out things that smelled foul and repulsed. I had to put some of them away. My patina has been tarnished. My mask and cape are too tight because I'm bigger than I used to be, but also they smell like nervous sweat and mothballs. I packed the mask and cape away a while back, but still there is a little something left, something resonating with Jay's words, something left standing that I know needs to come down. We all have a little something, something standing in front of our truest self, wrapped around our true self, a protective covering on our true self, which is, I believe, our heart. We can't help it growing up on this planet. We came of age in the last 80, 85 years. I'm trying to loop Alan in here because it's his birthday. We came to age in these last 80, 85 years. We grew up with all kinds of impingements in our environment. The Depression, two world wars, Korea, Vietnam, Desert Storm. We grew up against the backdrop of millions of murdered Jews and other folks considered undesirable, against the drawing of borders and displaced, murdered Palestinians. We grew up with claims of Aryan supremacy, apartheid in South Africa and in America, with the extraction of diamonds and cobalt and oil, leaving the earth full of holes and vulnerable to climate change. We grew up with the dismantling of walls and the building of others, new borders redrawn, redistricting in our electoral politics. We grew up with the Southern Freedom Movement and Black Power and the sexual revolution and queer movements and women's liberation. Though change was essential, the churning made so many of us uncomfortable that strategies were enacted to shut down the progress of progressive life. Systems do not like change. They will fight back. So we've seen stacked courts, police violence, and insurrection. We've seen an assault on Black lives, Asian lives, trans lives, Hispanic lives. Indigenous lives don't matter. And as the world turned and the progress churned, our hopes and dreams and fears and resentments and resistance to change were passed down to our children and grandchildren. We took those resentments to school with us and to work. They filtered their way into our writing, our thinking, our parenting. They wormed their way into our prayers. We are impinged by these resentments and fears, impinged by the loss of power, by the use of power over us. We're impinged by racism and sexism and heteronormativity and Christian hegemony. We're impinged by poverty and our worship of wealth. We are impinged by gates and gated communities, borders too stiff, and the ways they are policed. We are impinged by others whose selves are impinged, by folks who don't even know they're living inside false selves, masquerading as true. We are too often living in our false selves, just trying to survive, to make it, but not really fully alive. Are y'all with me? Yes. We're not really alive posturing to please, to say and do the right thing, hoping for approval, but not really even approving of the self we're becoming. Once, when my false self, be good at all costs, self got a chip in it and began to crumble because a relationship broke and that meant something was wrong with me. I was sad and lonely and living in sunny California by myself, hoping that relationship would not die, and it did die, and I wanted to die. I probably didn't really want to die, but I definitely wanted to hurt the person I broke up with by hurting myself. Now, that kind of drama is dangerous, okay? Do not, young people, do that. I'm going to fix him, but hurt myself. They don't care. If they care, they still be there. Somebody say amen. My boss then turned me on to this song. Manuel Renemosa, Hollywood Beautiful, sales department, Eastman Kodak Company, San Jose. He said, can you hear the love God has for David? Can you hear the ever-present God here in this text? No place you go, no place you hide, not heaven, not hell, not the far ends of the earth, no place this God will love the hell out of you, Manny said. This God will love your dirty drawers, my boss said. Loves you foibles and mistakes. Excuse me, guys. Allergies in the room. Loves you so very much just exactly as you are. Just exactly as you are. This is what Donald Winnicott is describing as a good enough environment in his psychological work. God's care attunes to us as little ones in our womb, the psalmist says. God's care attunes to us in the playpen when we're crawling, learning to stand. God's hands are on God's hip like a beautiful, shiny black mother with smelling like, you know, wind song and ultra sheen. God is saying, I see you being shiny, baby. Go get it, do you? I see you trying to crawl. I see you being yourself. I see you learning to stand up and be a justice warrior. I see you, God says to us. This mirroring, this holding, this handling, this love and tenderness builds confidence in us as we grow, a sense of omnipotence for just the right amount of time. Right, Laura? We can command the bottle to come, and it comes, and it makes us feel strong. I can do anything we get in this good enough care. The good enough love sets us on the right path. David must have had this kind of love in his house, I think. It seems to me, shepherd boy, youngest son, cute, they say, good looking. Father's favorite, I don't know, grows up to be warrior and king, faithful to God, but imperfect. Cheats with Bathsheba, sees to it that her man gets killed so he can keep on cheating. That's not nice, David. This guy is not perfect, but this guy is good enough, good enough. Good enough to believe God loves him, good enough. To write, no place I go, nothing I do, nothing separates me from God. You don't have to pretend, David writes. You don't have to hide. You don't have to cover yourself, your face. You don't have to cover your loins. You don't have to cover your lust or your sexuality or your worry or your humanity from God, because God made me. And God ain't going nowhere. Said the adulterer. Wrote the murderer. Just ordinary stuff, human stuff, declaring that God is never gonna leave us or forsake us. In the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul describes this ever-present, more than good enough love in this way. I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus. What Paul says. Nothing separates us from God, not our false self, not our patinas, not the masks and capes we wear, not the facades we assemble to keep people out or to keep our tender hearts in. Nothing. Not the meteor wars that tempt us to take sides rather than being on the side of humanity. Nothing. Not the news stations or the slanted storytelling. Nothing. Not one thing. We are connected to God, to source, to love in ways that we can't fully describe or fully understand. My priest, Richard Rohr, writes, we're in union with God. We don't have to worry about our little private, separate, insecure selves. You and I are here for just a few decades, dancing on the stage of life. Don't you love that? Perhaps taking our autonomous selves too seriously. That little and clearly imperfect self just can't believe that it's a child of God. But it is. Little Jackie is a child of God. Little Pam. Little Mackie, Molly, Carol, and Dion, who's excellent on the piano. y'all. All y'all. All of y'all. Yes, flawed. Yes, broken. Yes, wanting to hide. But absolutely delightful to God. And here's this other thing. Our small selves, our true selves, are connected to each other, inextricably connected to each other. The true self understands it does not exist without the other self. The true self understands that when we begin to dismantle the facades we erect, if we take them down brick by brick, stone by stone, what is left standing is naked truth. And here's the truth. I'm your sister. You're my sibling. We, in fact, are each other's keepers. And the truest true self knows that. Vulnerable, seeking, stumbling through time, looking for the other, looking for a spark of love, a divine spark of love, looking for the other parts that make us whole, the ones that belong to us, the ones that belong to another, the parts of us that are one, unified body. The true self knows we must find ways to share resources, to discover what we have in common, and to move forward to healing the world from there. I've been thinking about my facade, the one I've been dismantling for several years now, almost 20, I'm gonna call 20 is several, Mark. 20 is a long time. I've been thinking about how it served me so well, protected me, kept out the boogeyman, or at least I thought it did. But it turns out the boogeyman is in me. It turns out that what I've taken in as broken, what has been etched inside my soul, is in me. The facade is not outside me, it's inside me. And if I want to be whole, and I do, I have to seek it out, search it out, keep tearing it down in search of my truest, most real self, the self that yearns, like yourself, to be seen, known, and loved. I must let the facade fall down. It must come down. It's hard. I'm going to grieve that stuff that worked for me for, oh, so many years, 40 or so. I'm going to grieve that. It hurts. It's frightening. It's scary to show your true self. But it takes too much energy to keep the facade standing. I think we have to let it go. Piece by piece, because the God who made you and me loves us, is more than good enough to sustain us, is more than safe enough to be a container for us, broad enough, bad enough, good enough, loving enough, arms wide enough to sustain us with relationships and love and laughter and purpose and community and best friends. God is everything, everywhere, all at once, creating a container for you and for me to be our fullest true selves, full of love and compassion for ourselves and for the world. And I'm telling you, we're not going to get better until we do that. We're not going to get better. The world's not going to get better. Not going to get better until we decide to be truly who we are, which is a child of God, put on earth to heal the world. That's the only thing that's going to fix it, is we get to the real. We can't get well until we get real. We can't get fixed until we get real. We can't heal. We can't heal until we get real. So that's it. That's the work. That's the first step in the work. You ready? Amen.
Hi. That was an incredible sermon.
Thank you.
And I'm going to be myself. So we are here as an interfaith couple, except for a long time, only one of us had a faith, and that's my Christian husband, Tom. And me, the other, had no faith, but I was and am culturally Jewish. I always celebrated the Jewish major holidays, and Passover, a story of liberation, has always been my favorite. When we met, we were in a secular lefty activist milieu, and what we shared, besides a lot of attraction, were very similar values about life, justice, gender roles, war, work, community, equity, money. When we married, we used simple texts from Jewish and Mennonite wedding books. When we had kids, we chose names from the Old Testament. So far, it seemed easy to combine and work out our differences. But then, Tom decided he needed to go to church after a long lapse since college when our kids were very little. Jackie preaches truth-telling, as you all just heard, although I think I might add, make sure you know where and how. And so I will share, it got very hard for me for a good long while. It was one thing to go to church with Tom's wonderful parents, whom I loved when they were alive, still love them. But Tom going to church and claiming it as his weekly, that was really hard for me. Oof, it was a church, the people who called my mom a Christ killer, the history I learned about Inquisition, it all came rushing at me. Again, I will tell the truth that I brought a lot of tension into our family about this for a number of years. It's sort of like my angry parts, my tense parts overtook my wise, more divine self. But over time, I began to calm down and see I could trust this institution and appreciate this loving and accepting community deeply committed to social and racial justice. My moral compass and my deeply political and psychological, as you can hear from Jackie, was mirrored here. We do believe and engage in a struggle for the same things. I'm now happy my adult children feel this is their church. I learned this, there is a whole other way of being a Christian. I am a serious ally of middle, a committed ally, inviting Christians I admit, like my new friend Cindy, to come to come to middle. I tell people who do put down Christians, I say they're not all Christians are Christo-fascists. I have mixed Jackie's skills and smarts into my own psychological organization. I do whatever is asked of me for this beautiful place, even while I'm not an official member because I'm Jewish. I couldn't join a church, but this is also respected here. I have learned to celebrate the differences, but I wanted to say it was really hard for me at the beginning. So over the 38 years we have been attending, with music to rock the soul, right? And I'm a gospel person, and sermons to ponder, we have grown spiritually. Certainly I have, embracing love, yes, fierce love, as the highest force in the universe. I hold Jackie and the Middle Ministry team in high esteem because they deeply celebrate all of us for who we are. And that's a lot of consciousness to hold in mind. All Jackie's list of all the things wrong and keeping and including everybody, all of that. And they also do the work necessary to get us to work toward a just and equitable social world. So on this Thanksgiving, I'm grateful for Middle's warm community, shining light during these dark times.
When I first started attending Middle all those years ago, I had to check out the vibe for my Jewish wife, my Jewish Christian children, see what they might pick up. I knew from my life in the church that a demonic bigotry can lay hidden in the New Testament if it is read as if there's never been 2,000 years of European anti-Semitism and the Holocaust. Yeah. My Jewish educated ears can hear and listen for that. My faith gives me a place to belong here, to be centered. But faith can also provide an excuse to other, to exclude, to expel, to punish, to destroy. Middle is our family's refuge, but it wouldn't be a refuge for us if it didn't welcome Jewish, atheist, Muslim, Buddhist, pagan, all of us others, yet still. Yet still remain a Christian church. It wouldn't work for us if it couldn't hear and see Palestine as well as Israel. Our beautiful old church building burned up, and now the towers are finally coming down. Those towers disappearing don't mean the congregation was destroyed. It means we have survived and thrived. We're getting ready to rebuild. Won't you join us? As we continue to grow and expand online and physically return to 2nd Avenue and 7th Street, join at middlechurch.org/join, donate at middlechurch.org/donate. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity for us together today in many different ways that we are gathering today. And let there be peace on earth. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tom. Friend, thank you. You guys did a great job. Thank you. Please remain standing, friends. We're going to have our closing hymn. I am going to move toward the little protest I'm doing, taking you and your love with me. My colleague and friend Nick will benedict us after the hymn. So I love you. You're amazing, just exactly as you are, okay? Thank you.
Listening friends. To learn more about Middle Church, visit middlechurch.org. You can help grow this movement of love and justice by rating us on Apple or Spotify and by sharing this episode with a friend or two. Send us an email at info@middlechurch.org if you have any questions or comments. We hope you'll come back next week. Bye for now.